Submission, perfect delight, vision. Has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forget. forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roam. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Amen. Man, wonderful singing. Thank you all for that. Blesses my heart to hear young people that are willing to get up and sing praise unto the Lord. I know it does your alls as well. As Brother John, I first of all, I want to say thank you all for the opportunity. I guess I better turn myself on here. Thank you all for the opportunity to be here tonight. We might be on. It is indeed a blessing to be able to come and to preach the Word of God. Great responsibility, but indeed a great blessing, a great joy in it for me, and I do want to thank you for that. We do, Livingstone Missionary Baptist Church does send their love. They are indeed praying for the services, have been praying for the services, and will continue to pray for the services. I was sitting back there thinking just a moment ago about, and I know many of you know Charles Spurgeon. I don't necessarily agree with everything he says, but I do know that while he was preaching, the very hour that he was preaching, there were men on their knees below him praying that God, through the Holy Spirit, would guide him to preach the Word and that the Word would be effective. And I truly pray that that is the case tonight, that it would indeed be effective, that it would indeed revive us when we hear the words that we're going to look at tonight. As I began to pray, and Brother John asked me to preach it, you know, and I may be the only one that does this, I don't know, but sometimes I look for confirmation from the Lord as if that's what he would have me to preach or not. Well, when you sent the little revival flyer out, I got my confirmation. I had actually already been looking at the scripture that you put at the bottom of the page in the book of Habakkuk, which is where we're going to be at tonight, if you want to go ahead and turn there with me, Habakkuk chapter 3. But I had already been looking at this and studying this, and this message is very simple, honestly. And that may sound kind of silly, but it is indeed a very simple message tonight. It is indeed a great comparison to exactly what is happening in this world that we live in right now. And Habakkuk prays this prayer, and this prayer indeed should be our prayer. I truly believe that. I truly believe that as we look at this, we see our world, we see us as individuals, and I'm going to get into that just in a moment, but it needs to be our prayer that the Lord would indeed revive the work again, but in the same sense that he would revive his people in the work again as well. And I truly believe that's what Habakkuk is praying here. So in Habakkuk chapter 3, I want to read verses 1 and 2. That's it. And then we're going to come back and look at 3 points in these two verses. Verse 1 says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. And in wrath, remember mercy. Indeed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, we do indeed thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to gather into your house, this place tonight, and to be able to, as a people, lift our voices in praise and worship unto you for the beautiful songs that have been presented tonight. And Father, we do pray that in that you did receive all the honor and all the glory, that you did receive praise and worship from us, your people, tonight. Lord, I do pray that you would be with me, Lord, that you would move me out of the way, that you would empty me, Lord, of all my thoughts and cares tonight, Lord, and that you would fill me up with the power that I need to preach the word that you've laid upon my heart, Father. And I do pray indeed that you would cause us all as a people through this to indeed be reminded of some things and to indeed be revived in the work that we have to do for you here on this earth. Lord, I do pray that you would forgive us all of our failures and shortcomings, Lord. Be with us now tonight. Bless our time together and bless your word as it goes forward. And we ask these things in your holy and precious name. And amen. So we see the prophet Habakkuk here is praying this prayer. It is indeed an intercession, a supplication for the people unto God. It's actually a song, a prayer in song form. And we'll look at that here just in a moment. But he indeed still yet is praying this prayer. Now, if we were to back up and read the other chapters of Habakkuk, we would understand fully what's going on. I just want us to look at two simple verses in chapter 1. We go to chapter 1 and we see that the scripture says this, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. He said, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. You see, Habakkuk has a burden here. And he has a burden for the right, for rightly so. He sees wickedness. He sees evil. He sees contention and strife. He sees violence there and grievance, as the scripture says here. And that is indeed why he's praying what he's praying over in Habakkuk chapter 3. He sees God's people who are supposed to indeed be God's people and be about the work that the Lord has given them to do, doing everything but the work the Lord has given them to do. And listen, I want you to understand something here. Habakkuk's not just letting these words roll off his lips. It says in chapter 1 of verse 1 that it was a burden to him, that it burdened him heavily, that he was grieved because of such actions and such vile things that were going on in the world. Folks, when I look at these verses, I see our world that we live in today. But more sadly than that, I see God's people as a whole not being about the work of God as we should be. And folks, I stand just as guilty, if not more, than anybody else tonight. And that's the prayer that Habakkuk prays, to revive the work. But I believe he's also praying, revive the people in the work. And that's what needs to be done tonight. That's what we need to pray for tonight, that God would indeed revive the work and that he would revive us in the work and that he would cause us indeed to see these very things that Habakkuk speaks of here in this. You see in verse 1 of chapter 3, again there it says a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. That word Shigionoth is actually a musical instrument, I believe is how it's described. And when you look at the definition of the word, it's an instrumental song with great emphasis and emotion on what Habakkuk is seeing. He's singing aloud, crying aloud, praying aloud to the Lord, Lord, revive thy work. Lord, cause thy people to be revived in thy work. Cause thy people to turn from this wickedness and this grievance and this vile, sinful activity that they're being involved in, and cause them to be joyful for the work that you've given them to do. Amen. And in the work that you've given them to do. Listen, folks, it's obvious, it's evident in this world in which we live in that there are those that are stirring up strife and contention among God's people. Sadly, some of them are God's people. But listen, there are folks in this world that want nothing more than to stir up strife and contention and cause the work of God to be hindered. That's what they want to see. They don't want to see us doing the work of God. Listen, let me tell you something, folks. Right this very moment, they do not want to see us in this building tonight worshiping the Lord and listening to the Word of God. In no way, shape, form, or fashion. Sadly, they give every excuse that we can use, and we use it most of the time, to not be in the house of the Lord listening to the Word of God. Are we coming here with the cares of the world and the weights of the world and we don't listen anyway? But listen, let me tell you something, folks. There indeed are those in this world that would stir up strife, that would cause contention to keep God's people from doing the work of God that he would have for us to do. And sadly, they've somewhat succeeded. And that's sad. Listen, I'm almost 49 years old. I'll be 49 the 27th of April. I've been saved 27 years, and I've seen it in my lifetime how that good, godly people that used to love the Lord with everything that they were, that used to serve the Lord with everything that they were, now not so much. I've seen people that were on fire for the Lord, that desired to do nothing but work for the Lord, now not so much. And that's a sad thing, but I believe that's exactly what Habakkuk's seeing here. A people that are the Lord's people that are no longer desiring to do the work, but instead are desiring to follow after the things of this world. Listen, I get that we live in this world. This world is vile and wicked. I get that we're still in the flesh, and this flesh wants to do what it wants to do. But that's all about bringing it under subjection. The Bible tells us that we're to bring that under subjection and to stay away from, get away from the things of the world and not let the things of this world and the evilness of this world and our sinful desires hinder the work that God has given us to do. Listen, folks, God saved us by His grace and according to His divine plan and will, left us here on this earth for a purpose, and that purpose was to work for Him. That purpose was to those that have been called to preach to the very best of your ability the true word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. To all of us, He's left us here to witness to others about the love and mercy that He has for us. He's left us here to study His Word and apply it to our lives and live by it. What are we waiting for? Instead of seeing that, when you look at the world, you see what Habakkuk sees. That's why I believe it's of the utmost importance for us as God's people tonight to pray this prayer. Let's look at this prayer. There's 3 points I want to share with you in this, in verse 2. Habakkuk says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Forgive me, brother, I didn't get you to give me a cup of water because I was afraid I'd turn it over, but I may indeed turn this over too. Again, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. The first thing that I want us to look at is the point of hearing God's speech, hearing the word of God. The very first thing that you see Habakkuk say is, he says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech. Now, he's heard the speech that God has presented to him, that God has opened up his eyes and shown him all this vile and wickedness. But he's also heard the Lord's word for many years and how that they are to be, his people are to be his people and are to be faithful and obedient to the word of God. See, he hears the word of God. I think that's a problem with God's people tonight, is we have a hearing problem. I want us to understand, do we hear what Habakkuk is saying here about the evilness and wickedness that's going on in the world and see it's going on in this world that we live in? But then more than that, do we hear how many times the word of God says, just be obedient. Just serve me. Just be faithful to me. Just forget about the things of the world. Don't be involved in the things of the world. Don't be conformed to the things of the world, but just be obedient. I remember my grandmother, many times she would be talking to me and she would say, do you hear me? She would say, hey, Scotty, are you listening to me? I would say, yeah, Mama, I'm listening. She said, but do you hear me? How many of you have ever heard that? She said, I know you're listening to me. She said, but do you hear me? I want us to understand tonight, we may be listening to God, but do we hear what it is that He's telling us? We live in a world full of wickedness. We're not a part of this world, and we're supposed to be separated from it. Not involved in it. Not involved with it. And I believe that's the big problem in the world in which we live in today. Hey, and listen, Habakkuk is hearing the word of God about how that God is upset with His people over these type actions. Do you hear that tonight? Folks, I truly believe that God is upset. And somebody asked me the other day how I could say this, but I don't know how I cannot. I truly believe that God is upset with His people as a whole because we have slacked off the work that He's given us to do. Slacked off in it. God tells us the importance of not allowing evilness and wickedness to hinder our work that He's given us to do. Do we hear that? Do we hear how that God is upset in this? Listen, hold your place here and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 34 says this. Or actually, we back up and look at verse 33, or 32. I'm sorry. He says, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. I love these verses, these scriptures, because we look at what it says there in verse 32. It says, now therefore hearken unto me. Listen to what I have to say to you. Listen, the word God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit in His Word. He tells us how it is that He expects us as His children to live and conduct ourselves in this life. And one of those things is don't be conformed to the ways of the world. I wonder truly if you went out tonight and asked a bunch of people if they could tell if you were a child of God, what their answer would be. Kind of hurts, don't it? Does me. He says that we're to be watching and waiting upon the Lord, doing the work of the Lord. And that truly is what Habakkuk is praying for. That God's people would open their eyes and turn from what they're doing and do the work of the Lord joyfully. Not because we have to, because we want to. Because it's a joy to us. Listen, folks, it's a joy to me to serve the Lord. And the more I serve the Lord, the more joy I receive. Why is it that we seek after things where there is no joy? Where there is no peace? Look with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, Jesus is speaking here and he says this, and I could very well read this whole chapter. But in verse 15 and 16 he says this, but that on the good ground are they, listen to this, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he lighteth a candle, covereth it with a vessel or put it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, and they which enter in may see the light. He says, listen, in verse 15, he says, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, but then he doesn't stop there. He says, keep it. Folks, do we hear what the word of the Lord is telling us and how that we ought not be like the people that Habakkuk is seeing around him, but how that we ought to be like godly, saved individuals? An honest and good heart, having heard the word of God and then keeping it, bringing forth fruit, it says. With patience, folks, waiting upon. That's what we're supposed to be as fruit bearers. Amen. For the Lord. Where's the fruit? Kind of like that old lady you say, where's the beef? Where's the fruit? Honestly, I mean, and not just, and I can't stand up here and point fingers at you, because when I do, I got three pointing back at me. I'm just as guilty as the next man. Where's the fruit? Why are we not joyful in serving the Lord and serving the Lord like we ought to be, is what I want to know. Look with me one more place to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And I'll give you a second to turn there. This is actually a new Bible and I don't have it broke in, so I had to mark my places. So I'm turning a little bit quicker than I normally would. But James chapter 1, verse 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You say, wait, is he reading the wrong scripture? Why do you read that? No, I am indeed not reading the wrong scripture. I read this for a purpose. And I want us to understand this. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? To hear. Swift to hear. Not, listen, folks, I believe that we've gone about in this world for far too long being swift about other things rather than what we ought to be being swift about. We've been swift about chasing after the things of this world, swift about chasing after the lusts of our flesh and the desires of our flesh, and not swift about hearing and doing the Word of God. God forbid that anybody would do it, but I wonder how many people chose to stay home tonight rather than come to church to watch a ball game. Oh, folks, I'm a diehard UK fan. Believe you me. You go out there and look in front of the van, there's a UK license plate. I do indeed bleed blue. But listen, that game is of no importance right now. This is of the greatest importance. This is what we ought to be doing. But see, that's what, and I just use that as an example, that's what we're more swift to do than we are here and do the Word of God. And I truly believe that's what Habakkuk was seeing. The people were being swift about chasing after what they wanted rather than what the Lord wanted for them or what the Lord would have for them to be about. And indeed, I believe that's why Habakkuk, part of why Habakkuk prays this prayer. Habakkuk truly is asking, seeking God here for this thing. He's seeking God to revive the work. And again, I say revive the people in the work. The Lord left the people here to do the work. Us, I'm talking to us now. And that's what indeed we need to pray. I preached this not too long ago. Let's go back over to Habakkuk chapter 3. I want us to look at something. He says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of years. Listen, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but the fact that we hear the word, what God tells us to do, are we doing it? You know what? Jesus Christ was the greatest example of this. As a matter of fact, he is our example. John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says this, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk as he walked. I didn't see anywhere in there that it said walk as the world walks. We've been separated from this world. And we're to walk as Christ walked. Listen, while Jesus was here on this earth, he was absolutely 100% about the will of the Father and the work of the Father. And he is our example. And that's what we ought to be about. And we ought to be joyful in it. Listen, folks, we have taken the word of God and the work of God and turned it into work. Ho-humming that we don't want to do it. And that's sad. We ought to be joyful about doing the work of the Lord. And I truly, again, believe that's why Habakkuk prays this prayer, revive thy work. What does the hymn say? Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. And I pray that tonight. I pray indeed that God would cause the fire to be stirred in and among his people again, that we might do the work that he's given us to do. He says, O Lord, I've heard thy speech. But then he says this, and was afraid. There's something that we need to see here about this. Habakkuk wasn't scared to death. That's not what this word afraid means. This word afraid means reverencing the Lord. It's a godly fear. Don't see much of that in the world today, do you? Don't see much of that in the world today, and you definitely don't see much of that in God's people. He wasn't scared to death, but he heard the word of the Lord as God was speaking to him here, and he had reverence for the Lord, so much so that he desired it among God's people. I desire godly fear among God's people tonight. I pray for it, because we don't show it enough. He says, O Lord, I have heard, I've hearkened unto, I've understood thy report, thy tidings. He said, Lord, I've heard your sayings and your word concerning this evil and this wickedness, thy speech. He said, I was afraid. I reverenced the Lord because of his word. Folks, Habakkuk was dominated by the reverence that he had in hearing the word of God and the concern that he had for the people of God. I can give you some other examples of other men in the Bible that had this same reverence. Nehemiah said concerning the people that they had done evil things, but that he did not do evil. Why? Because he reverenced the Lord. Do we reverence the Lord tonight? Do we have that godly fear? Have we heard the word of God, and then do we have that godly fear in us tonight as God's people? What did the Lord say about Job? He what? He feared God and eschewed evil. I dare to say that none of us have had happen to us what Job had happened to him. I'm sure we've lost loved ones. I'm sure we've lost things, but Job had it dumped on him all at one time. One right after the other. Humanly speaking, he had every right to do what the men and women were saying for him to do, but he didn't. He feared God and eschewed evil. Didn't sin against God because of the things that were coming against him. Because he reverenced God. He believed in what God had told him. He had heard the word of God speaking to Job, telling him to be obedient. And listen, you want to talk about a blessed man. Look what happened to Job after all this took place. And he was indeed obedient and faithful to the Lord. Lord blessed him 10 times more than what he had before. A godly fear. But there seems to be not a lot of it in this world in which we live in today. And that's sad. But it is indeed the truth of the matter. Nobody fears God anymore. Just as it was in the day of Habakkuk. Again, another reason why he prayed. Why he said he was afraid. He feared God. He believed in God. Listen, you look at this chapter. Habakkuk had faith that the Lord was going to answer his prayer. He would never have prayed it. I have faith that the Lord would answer the prayer if God's people would just get on their knees and fall on their face before him tonight and say, revive. But do we truly desire to be revived? Because listen, if the Lord truly revives us, it's going to take some sacrifice on our part to follow after him, to get rid of these things that hinder us from doing the work of the Lord and truly follow after what he would have. Do you desire that tonight? Is that truly your desire? I pray it is. I truly do pray it is. Listen, when we show reverence to the Lord, I believe that we'll see a true transformation of life. Right. I really, truly do believe that. Because when we truly reverence God in all the ways that we're supposed to, there's not really any room for anything else. I say that all the time at Livingstone. If we truly would follow after and serve the Lord the way that we're supposed to, there won't be time and room for anything else because we'll be consumed with the things of God. That's how we ought to be as God's people, consumed with the things and the work of God, like we ought to be. Look with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 89. Psalm chapter 89. I want to read a few verses here to you. Beginning in verse, again, we could actually read the entirety of it, but in verse 5, it says, "And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him." Look with me, if you will, over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, looking at verse 28 and 29, says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Now, I'm just for a second, I want to park right here, just for a second. As we read this, I want us to understand what it is that we're reading. "Wherefore are we receiving the kingdom which cannot be moved?" God has indeed saved us that are saved tonight by His grace, praise His name, and He's given us an inheritance in a kingdom that cannot be moved. And because of that, it ought to be our desire, it ought to be our want to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Amen. Is that our desire truly in this world in which we live in tonight? Receiving that inheritance that shall not be moved, that kingdom that shall not be moved. Do you want and desire to serve God acceptably tonight? Because that truly is what it is about, being acceptable in the eyes of God. I don't care what this world thinks about me. What I do care about is what God says. And that's what each and every one of us ought to be concerned about. That's what the people should have been concerned about that were doing the things they ought not do here that Habakkuk was praying for. But then in verse 29, I want us to understand this. "For our God is a consuming fire." Folks, can I tell you something? Because of our wickedness, because of our worldliness, because of our sins, it's 1,001 wonders that God hasn't consumed every one of us from off this face of the earth. And He would be just. Our God is a consuming fire, and He expects His people to be faithful and obedient to the work that He's given them to do. We ought to want to be. Listen, I stand before you tonight, a man saved by the grace of God. Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on the cross for, I'm going to make this personal, my sins. Shed His precious blood to wash away my sins as far as the east is from the west. Save me from the eternal fires of hell, which I am absolutely worthy, completely worthy of. And gave to me eternal life. And folks, that ought to stir us enough to cause us to want to be obedient to the work that God has given us to do. And we see this reverence here, this godly fear that we ought to have before God tonight. And I truly do pray that that would indeed be what we have. But when we reverence God, when we do the things that God would have for us to do, it brings us closer to God. It causes us to want to serve Him as we should. And that's where we need to be, really and truly, as God's people tonight. You see Habakkuk say here, we'll turn back over there, chapter 3, verse 2, he says, "O Lord," he says, "I have heard thy speech and was afraid." We've looked at hearing the word of God tonight. We've looked at this reverence that we ought to have for God tonight. And then we look at this third point. He says this, "Revive thy work in the midst of years." That's the last thing that I really want us to look at and understand here tonight that Habakkuk prays for. He prays for the work to be revived. It's on the bottom of the flyer that you sent out. Are you praying for it? Have you been praying for it? Folks, we ought to. I have been. Oh Lord, revive thy work. But not just revive thy work, revive thy people in thy work. Cause us to have that joy of serving you that we once had. I say once had because I believe that that joy is slowly fading away.
But you know what? The Bible says that that's what was going to happen. People were going to start turning away, not serving the Lord as they ought to, not desiring to serve the Lord anymore, not having a joy to serve the Lord anymore. And I see that in this world which we live in. But I want us to look at this a little backwards, if you will. He says this down at the end of the verse. He says, in wrath, remember mercy. We read a few minutes ago that our God is a consuming fire, and we saw how God is upset with his people, and Habakkuk is praying, Lord, have mercy. You're angry, I understand, but have mercy. Lord, forgive the people of their sins. Draw them back unto yourself. That's what we ought to pray. Lord, forgive us for our wicked ways. Forgive us for going astray. Forgive us for doing things that we know we ought not to do. And bring us back to yourself that we might again enjoy serving you. Oh God, I pray that he has mercy on us tonight. Lord, I can say that right now very comfortably. Lord, have mercy on us, your people tonight, and bring us back to where we need to be. A revived people is where we need to be, is what we need to be. And we indeed, each one ought to be praying for that. But then he says again, revive thy work. Revive thy work. Folks, the Lord's work needs to be revived tonight in his people and of his people. Look with me, if you will, very quickly to Psalm chapter 85. Psalm chapter 85. Verse 6 says this, a very familiar portion of Scripture. 5 and 6 says, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? And then verse 6 is really what I want us to see. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Are you praying for that tonight? Revive us, O Lord, that we might rejoice in thee. It says, revive us again. I want us to understand what those words mean. Of course, the word revives means to be caused to be alive, to be quickened, to be made alive. But then there's those two words there, us again. And it's very interesting what those two words mean. That means cause to return or bring us back or restore us to where we ought to be. Oh, indeed, folks, that's what we need tonight. For the Lord to bring us back from where we are to where we need to be. Serving him faithfully. Amen. Worshiping him faithfully. He says, Lord, revive us, thy people. Let us live again. To be alive in the work that you've given us to do. Bring us back from all this unworldliness and sin that we've gotten ourselves into. And cause us to rejoice in thee. And therein is another problem among God's people today, is there's no rejoicing. No rejoicing in the Lord. No rejoicing in the work of the Lord. I rejoice in the fact that the Lord has called me to preach the Word of God. It indeed is a responsibility, but what a joy it is, brother. It truly is. I love it. I long for it. There were times that I was sick that I wasn't able to preach, that I kept saying, Lord, please make me feel better so I can go back and preach again. I enjoy it. It's my desire to preach the Word of God. It's my desire for us indeed tonight too to be revived like we ought to be. Look with me, if you will, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And go to verse 33. Verse 33. Brother, I didn't even look at the clock. I said this message wasn't going to be long, but I'm a preacher, so I might have stretched the truth a little bit. So I'm going to preach till the Lord's done. Psalm 119, verse 33, down through verse 40. Says this, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Listen, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Here it is again. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Quicken me in thy way. Make me alive again in your way, in the way that you would have for me to go. Remove my eyes from all these things that we just read here, from my covetousness, from the wickedness, from beholding vanity, from all of these things. He says, turn my eyes from these things and quicken me in thy way, in thy commandments, that I might keep them with all my... Listen, folks, there's no way that we can do that when we're walking after the world. There's no way that we can do that when we're chasing after the things of the world, but we indeed need to be revived unto the Lord's work. And I pray truly that that is what the Lord would do for us tonight, that he would indeed make us as his people alive unto his work again, like we ought to be. Let's go back to Habakkuk chapter 3 one more time, and I'll close here just in a moment. He says in verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech. We looked at that. Hearing what the word of the Lord says. How that we have not been about the work of the Lord like we ought to be, and how that we ought to be revived back to it, how that we ought to turn away from these things. He says, and was afraid, that reverence before God, that godly fear that we ought to have. And then he says, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of years. In the midst of years, make known, and in wrath, remember mercy. I think that we need to post that verse somewhere and read it all the time. I'm going to hush. But I want to say this as I close. It is indeed my prayer that the Lord would cause us as his people to hear his word tonight. Understand truly that he has somewhat to be upset with us with, about. That we might turn from the things that cause us and that hinder us from doing the work of the Lord, and that we might, and that I pray that this message somehow has indeed revived us and caused us to see the joy of serving the Lord, and that we would indeed strive to serve him with everything that we are. I pray indeed that the Lord would have mercy upon us tonight for our wicked ways and for our sinfulness that as we live in this world, and I pray indeed that he would not only revive his work, but that he would revive us in his work. That he would make us alive and rejoicing and joyful to work for the Lord again. Listen, I have to throw myself under the bus for just a second. When the Lord first saved me, man, I was on fire. Just ask my wife, she'll tell you. Listen, I almost wanted to be at church more than I wanted to be at home. They were working at the church. I said, I got to go. There was something going on at church. I got to go. I got to make whatever arrangements I need to do, whatever sacrifices that I need to make. I need to be there. I want to work for the Lord. And I'm satisfied that this is true in every believer's life. As years have gone, that fire has dwindled. Sadly. I want that joy again. I want that fire burning within me that it's my only desire is to serve the Lord. My only desire is to do the work of the Lord. And don't get me wrong, I do desire to do the work of the Lord. I want to desire it more. Somebody said, it might have been Brother Tom Ross, we should know, I believe it was, it might have been, that we ought never be satisfied with our relationship and walk with the Lord. We ought always want to desire for it to be more and better, to be closer to the Lord, to do more for the Lord. That's how we as the Lord's people ought to be tonight, are we? I indeed do pray as Habakkuk did, Lord, revive thy work again. Revive thy people to do thy work again, and cause us with everything that we are, with every ounce of being that we are, with everything that we have, indeed do the work that the Lord has called us to do with joy in our hearts. That's what I pray for. That we can go away from here tonight saying, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. It was, and we can go out into the world saying, it's good to do the work of the Lord. That's my prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Lord, indeed thanking you for this wonderful evening that you have given us here again to gather in your house to sing praises unto you. Lord, to open up your word and see indeed this message tonight. Oh, Lord, cause us to hear that we've been spending far too much time chasing after the things of this world and allowing the things of this world to hinder what our service to you truly ought to be. Lord, cause us to have that reverence for you, that godly fear for you that we as your people ought to have.
Cause us to see how indeed you have saved us by your grace and made us your own, given us that inheritance, that kingdom that shall not be moved, and cause that joy of our salvation to swell up in our hearts so much so that we can't help but work for you and serve you and do the work that you've called us to do. Revive us tonight, Lord, each and every one of us, that we might go forward rejoicing and joyful about the work that we have here to do on this earth. Forgive us, O Lord, I pray, of our failures and shortcomings. As Habakkuk prayed, have mercy. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for the times that we fail you and the times that we fall short. Strengthen us, Lord. Give us the strength that we have need of to indeed do these things. Again, I pray, revive us, O Lord, please. Revive your people that we might do your work joyfully. Lord, I do indeed pray for the remainder of the services this week, Lord. I pray that you would indeed bless the other men that are coming to preach the word of God. Lord, give them the power to preach exactly what you've laid on their heart, the true word of God. Lord, I do pray for this church and our pastor, Lord. Love them very much, and I pray that you would continue on with them here, Lord. Continue to give them strength to serve you faithfully. Lord, continue to bless them in a mighty way for their faithful service to you. Lord, I do pray now that you would go with us as we depart from this place. Lord, that you would indeed keep your protective hedge about us as we go back out into this world. Keep us from conforming to the world. Keep us from following after the things of the world, but rather following after you and your work and your way. And I ask all these things in your precious and holy name tonight. And amen.
Take this opportunity to thank Brother Scott for a wonderful message. I pray that each one of us has truly heard what has been brought forth, because it is direly important. We really get a hold of our worship hour. Reformed worship is worship that causes you to reverence and respect the God of heaven and know that he's in our midst. I think when people realize that he's really in our midst, I mean when you really get a hold of it, you really feel him appearing into your heart, it'll cause you to be reformed in your worship hour. I mean, you know, the things that have been in our minds right now, maybe some hardships that we've been going through, maybe it's a sickness. When you realize that he's appearing into our hearts and our minds, when we're supposed to be really worshiping him, there's way too many today that do just go through the motions without a real awe of the Almighty that's around us. I thank God for the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church and her love. Her love for the Word of God. I've been asked many times, why in the world do you all have so many revival meetings? Just to have a people here that love the Word, love the Lord, and they love to serve. And I thank God for them. But listen, in a time of refreshing, we can all draw closer, amen. We can all draw closer to the Lord. We'll have a song leader and our pianist to come tonight if the Lord spoke to your heart. Maybe even right now you've just realized how many times we come into the house of God and we never really remember that he's in our midst. Pray to God. Say, revive me that I may know and feel thy presence. Okay, brother.
Number 44. 44.